Good morning, Teach Better family. My name is Katie Miglin, and I'm here with Joshua Stamper, where we are live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern for the Teach Better Today morning show. Hopefully you have a strong cup of coffee or something else that's fueling your fire this morning. We are excited to talk about fun field trips and other fun stuff today. So go ahead and either refill your coffee or drop in the chat who you are and where you're from, and we'll be right back. Good morning, Teach Better community. My name is Katie Miglin. I'm here with Joshua Stamper, and they have not kicked us off of the show yet, which is just fantastic. We hope you're having a wonderful Monday. Josh, how was your weekend?
Oh, great. I'm still recovering from our Friday show and you saying that you were going to see each other on Saturday.
Okay, Friday, I was struggling a little bit. Get some coffee. It's fine. Actually, I was drinking coffee. I needed something that day, but I'm feeling much better today. I will tell you that we went to Disney on Ice this weekend, have you ever been to Disney on Ice?
I have not. I've done a lot of Disney different events, but not on ice.
Well, went to Disney on Ice. It was a Christmas present from somebody and took the two olders. It was fun. It was fun. I mean, Disney on Ice is cute. It's like, you know, they're ice skating.
Sure.
Fine. But
have you done it before?
Yes, we've done this a few times. Like, it seems like there's always a show in like the winter or spring, and somehow someone always gets us tickets for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's like an easy gift. So sure. This year we have gone to different ones kind of around us, you know, within driving distance. This one is in our town. So it was kind of just fun to do something with the bigger kids because, you know, obviously since having Hazel, things will look a little different. So you got a babysitter for the baby and we're able to do a date night with the two older, which was fun. And yeah.
So how did your kids do with the weight? Because obviously Christmas is not close to today.
I think because they have been to one before, they knew what it was and they were excited about it. In the past, the ones that they've gotten, like, we got it for Christmas and the event was in January. So it was really like close. But this, they knew, you know, that it was in the spring and it was like after Harper's birthday or whatever. So, they've been okay with it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, it's just always fun to have something like different.
Oh, yeah. We've done this plenty of times where it's been like a birthday gift for a concert that's, you know, 3 months away or whatnot. But yeah. They're a little bit older also, so they can kind of figure that out, and it's not that instant.
Right. We're starting to get to that point of like where mm-hmm. they understand. And I don't know about you, but like sometimes the holidays or birthdays can be overwhelming. Like our oldest, especially, she gets really overwhelmed mm-hmm. with all of the stuff. So sometimes the experiences are nice and we're like finally getting to the point where we're like other people who give gifts are understanding this. Like she actually enjoys the like gradual satisfaction, you know, so like she loves gift cards because she can go in a few weeks and get something that she wants versus like right now having all this extra stuff for her one day. So I do think that helps too, is that they like have something to look forward to and they're not overwhelmed by like another object in our house. Maybe that's part of me and them. I don't know. Probably.
I would say yes.
Yeah, probably. Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, it's April. I feel like, I've been saying this for a few shows, but I do think we're kind of getting to that spot where we might be seeing warm weather. Here's the question. Should we or should we not have taken our patio furniture out this weekend?
I think you're close. I will say, though, I planted a bunch of boxwood shrubs in the front of my yard.
That seems dicey.
I feel like that was dicey, but I did check the weather and I felt very confident. Okay. Now we'll see how that works because I'm not used to the Colorado weather yet, and it seems to be very erratic, which I've shared on the show before. So this may be the death of those bushes, but I did plant them.
Okay. So
it was my step to say it's spring and it's going to get warmer. That's my declaration.
I was thinking about it this weekend, and I was like, there is going to be more warmer days, hopefully, than colder. And last year, I'm pretty sure I had literally just put everything out and it snowed. Cause I remember it snowed like the day before my birthday, which is the end of April. And my husband always gives me a hard time. Cause he's like, I know if it snows on your birthday, that'll literally be the worst day of your life. And so it was like literally the day before. And I remember being like, oh, all the patio furniture is getting snow on it, but it was like a dusting. So the other thing too is I like start planting stuff in my garden. So we got to start like, I got to get stuff going. I can't wait for this to be nice, like every day, all the time. So
I got a bunch of yard work done. I mean, I was putting the fertilizer down. It was kind of warm. So I felt like I need to get stuff done. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'd love to hear in the comments.
That will be the worst birthday gift ever if you get snow on your birthday. You may get a present of depression. That's why maybe what.
Yeah, like just know if it snows on my birthday, I'm going nowhere. Bottle of wine, TV, like whatever. I'm literally just staying in my house. I'm not going anywhere. Takeout. For some reason, when it snows in April, I just feel like it's the equivalent to like getting the flu. Like I can't leave. I can't do anything. I just have to stay here, and this is it. This is my life. So. I would love to hear the comments.
Have the Teach Better teams fly over and do an intervention or something to get you up off the couch.
Yes.
Grab the wine bottle from you.
It'll be okay. It's just. but yes, let us know in the comments. Have you put out your furniture? Have you planted your garden? Have you planted shrubs? What's the outdoor life look like in your area? Let us know. Solve this debate for us because I really want to sit on something comfortable outside.
And if you disagree with what I just did, please don't put it in the comments because it'll crush me.
Or just send a gift card to Lowe's for Josh so he can buy more shrubs next week.
I need 7 boxwoods, please.
Exactly. All right, we'll be right back. Good morning. My name is Katie Miglin, and I'm back with Joshua Stamper, where we join you every morning on the To Teach Better Today morning show, where we go live on all of your favorite streaming platforms, and we then turn it into a podcast where you can check it out all hours of the day. So wherever you're tuning in, we're grateful for you. Josh, today I wanted to talk about something that I get really excited about, and it is also a topic that might stress people out. But field trips. We got a little note in our daughter's folder and she's going on a field trip. And I was like, so excited. Of course, I immediately like said, yes, she can go. And then I immediately signed up as a volunteer chaperone because I get so excited about them. But am I a weirdo? Do you get the same excitement around field trips?
You just opened yourself up. Katie Miglin.
Okay. Being specific.
Yes. Yes, you are. Okay. Now, in regards to field trips, no. But I think it's because of your personality. You love planning stuff. So my question to you is, like, when you were a teacher, were you always a part of the planning committee for field trips?
So I taught in the middle school, as you know.
Yeah.
We had teams. And so there was five, some years four, and a few extra teachers. So we planned it collectively, but I would say, I think my team would agree. I would say most years I was like one of the people that was like kind of did like the communication with wherever we were going, or I organized the buses or the groups or whatever. But I would say we did share kind of the load of like, where are we going? What are we doing? And where we were at, we were on a really limited field trip budget. So we only were given a little bit by the school, and then we either had to fundraise it or we had to ask parents, which we always tried not to have to do, because we know parents put a lot of money into school in general. So, but we like did all kinds of stuff, and it was sometimes like more directly related to curriculum, sometimes not. I would say pretty consistently, one of the things we did was go see a movie, which I know like, yes, I understand that that doesn't sound curriculum based, but for like many years, we would read the book. And if the book was coming out as a movie, then we would like obviously go see it. So like we saw most of the Hunger Games because we read them as a team. I'm trying to think like I actually just helped them last in the winter. They went to see Wonka and they read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And so I went with them. So like we tried to always tie it in some capacity to something we were doing curriculum wise. So that was one that we always tried to do in the winter. But then like, honestly, we always picked something outside. Like that was pretty consistent. I would say I can't actually think of a year we didn't. We'd go to like a state park local, you know, like a local state park, or some years we were able to actually drive about an hour. That was before we were really limited, but we would drive an hour and they'd like go hiking, and it was a state park, tons and tons of trails and like waterfalls and so many cool things. And I think the reason I loved field trips, honestly, just the most was not only did we get to see kids in more of their natural environment, you know, it was social, they got to be a little sillier, but then there were so many kids who had never been given those experiences that you got to see their reaction. You know, you got to see them like running around or making s'mores on a campfire, just things that like, I think I took advantage of. And I, you know, just was like, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. It would always kind of humble me to remind me that like not every kid had that opportunity. So
for sure.
Those are the reasons I love field trips so much.
Yeah. Well, what about you? See. Yeah. I could think of a thousand that either I was a part of as a teacher, like going to art museums and things like that. The art museums were fun because similar to what you're talking about, like a lot of the students, they only have seen art in a book, and to see it, and especially, you know, like a Monet or a Van Gogh or something like that, that's really a popular, well-known artist. And then they're seeing it firsthand, and to see the reaction on their face, but then also the comments they make is pretty astounding. It's pretty fun. But then also like some folks, you know, we take them to the zoo or the science museum, and you know, you just kind of assume like, oh, all kids have gone to the zoo, you know, things like that. And then you find out that they've never have. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty shocking. And to be able to give them that experience and to see the joy and the fun that they have, not only to socialize with their friends, but then also to experience something that they've never been before. Or maybe they've only gone one other time, you know? And so, I was always amazed with teachers that had it planned out so well and flawless. You know, I always got a kick out of that, because a lot of times as an administrator, it was just like, I show up and I'm there to make sure everyone is safe, doesn't get lost, but then also to make sure like the plan is in tune with like, you know, the regulations by the district. And I mean, there were no hiccups a lot of times, just because our teachers were so phenomenal at getting every little detail, making sure every group is broken up. They were so wonderful about like making sure like the dynamics of the small groups that were established, or if parents were volunteering, who to put with what parent, you know, that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of time and effort put into the planning, which then of course made the event so much better. And so I always appreciated just the front end, like people like you, Katie, that are type A and that do such a great job of going through every little detail. And I think, you know, it is something that needs to be attached to the curriculum and something that's, you know, educational. But at the same time, I think we can't focus too much on that. It does need to have a connection, but a lot of it is more about the experience. I know, like as a kid, I can remember pretty much every field trip I went on. And it wasn't because it was connected to curriculum.
Yes. You
know? And so sometimes it's about just giving an experience to a child that may not have it, or it's understanding that it's a long lasting thing that's a positive connected to education. And sometimes we get too focused on, oh, it has to be this. You know, like I can think of a terrible experience where our district connected with a local sports team, which sounds awesome.
But yeah.
The team was responsible for the educational component to it. Mm-hmm. And it fell right on its face. And there were a lot of times the kids thought they were going to do something with the team and experience something that didn't exist. And a lot of them voiced, because it's middle school, voiced, why are we here? Mm-hmm. why is this our field trip? They didn't understand because it was such a poorly constructed event. Mm-hmm. And which was super disappointing for everybody involved, educators yeah. and the students. And obviously got better with each year, but at the same time, it was like forced upon us, you know, and we didn't have the autonomy on our own.
Right.
And that I didn't agree with. So mm-hmm. that was unfortunate.
Yes. Well, I think you brought up a good point of, yes, it should tie in some capacity to the things that are happening the day to day in our classroom. But I don't think anyone, especially anyone who's been on a field trip through the lens of an educator, can argue all of the lessons a student learned that you would never have naturally been able to teach. You know, being able to stay in a group, or if they're, you know, depending on what it is, it could be everything from learning about how to interact with people in your group, or learning to, you know, interact with people who work in the whatever facility you're in. You know, there's so many, like, not just social emotional, but just like life skills that you learn on a field trip.
Yep.
That, like, even just responsibility. It was always astonishing to me the number of students who, like, couldn't remember a pencil to my class, like, couldn't remember it to save their life.
Yep.
But the second you're like, I need $5 on a permission slip by Friday, otherwise you're not going on the field trip, man, they could remember that. Or,
yep.
you know, you need to remember your sack lunch for the field trip. They had that, and they had all the extra snacks for all their friends. Like, there's just so many things that I feel like are valuable. But you did kind of hit on some things that are important. So if you're someone that is like, oh, we're getting ready for our spring field trip, maybe this is your first time planning one, or maybe you're new to education and you're, you know, trying to figure out where can I be helpful on my team that I'm working with. Big things are, make sure that you have enough parent to student, you know, the ratio is proportionate to what you need, yep. especially your students. There have been years where we only felt like we needed to take the teachers. I had 130 to 50 students every year. Some years those students were fine enough that us having 30 kids per teacher with a couple support staff was fine. Other years we needed an extra 10 to 15 parents to help because we needed eyes everywhere. So really assess your students, especially at this point in the year, you know what they're capable of. It doesn't hurt to have extra set of hands. And there's so many parents out there who, or community members who are willing yeah. to step in and help. Make sure obviously that you follow all of the requirements with your district, and our district specifically, you have to have a background check and be yep. cleared. So make sure you kind of cover that ahead of time. But I would say make sure you've got the correct adult to student ratio that is appropriate. But then also make sure that you've thought through everything. Like Josh said, yes, sometimes it's kind of a headache to think through all the, like, the minute by minute, but even little things of, if students are bringing lunches, are they carrying the lunches with them all day, or is it going to go into a basket? How will they get distributed? Are there names on them? I have definitely been a part of, you know, field trips that we haven't thought through those things. We're like, oh, we'll figure that out, it'll be fine. Yep. And any sort of chaos in an unstructured environment can create more chaos. You know, it's not like it's unstructured inside the walls of your classroom. You might be at a museum, you might be at a park. And so students sometimes can run at that a little bit more when there's some chaos. So some things to just kind of be mindful of, just like really thinking through all of that, making sure you're communicating to every single person, whether it's a bus driver, the place that you're working with, or your admin staff, other teachers. You know, we talked on Friday about elective teachers. Those teachers, if they're not going on the field trip, they need to know that they're not going to have students in some of their classes. And sometimes those are the things that we forget about when we're, you know, kind of getting into the whirlwind of planning. So if you ever want to, like, talk through, okay, have I hit all the checklists? Have I covered all the things I need to? Feel free to reach out to Josh, or we're happy to kind of just remind you of some things you maybe have forgotten about. But I know going into spring is sometimes field trip season, or
yes.
class trip season or, you know, whatever, wherever we are going. But honestly, if I have, if you hear nothing else, if you're like, I'm a planner, I got this, Katie, don't worry about me. Just don't let the stress impact your ability to enjoy that. And I have definitely seen that firsthand. And I know myself, I've gone into a field trip stressed. Like, I want everything to go well. And I've let that be at the forefront of my mind rather than enjoying all those little silly moments with students. So when that day starts, just go in knowing that you're doing it because you want to just enjoy it. And so then truly enjoy it. And it'll be so much more rewarding. So, yeah. I love field trips, man. I could talk about it all day.
I know. I love field trips too. Actually, I just went on a trip with my son to New York with the high school.
Yeah.
You're talking about those life skills, watching my 15-year-old determine the subways we need to take to get from point A to point B. I was like, he's never going to get this experience anywhere else.
And yes.
I absolutely love just kind of sitting back and just enjoying the process of him working through that. And we were successful. We got to Central Park like we needed to. So.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. But yeah, like it is, it's kind of just giving it to them and, you know, you'll be there on the sidelines as support, but letting students navigate that and figure things out is a life skill that you can never teach within your classroom. So kind of enjoy that, embrace it and look for those opportunities as much as possible because they're great. They're so helpful. Well, Josh, this was super fun. I was glad we were able to talk through this and I'll keep you posted on our kindergarten trip to the zoo. I don't know if we're bringing the zoo, if we're going to be at the zoo, I feel like, but early May, I'll be joining. It's coming. And I'll be joining a bunch of kindergartners at the zoo for field trips. So
it'd be perfect. You'll have your birthday, it'll snow, and then you'll get to go to the zoo.
There'll be no snow, Josh. No snow. All right. Thank you so much for starting your day with us or for tuning in at any other point in your day. We are so glad to have you and appreciate you. And we'll be back next time. Bye, guys.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.